For surely saith the Lord, it is easy for thee to tell the times and the seasons. It is easy for thee to tell the events of the climates and the things that pertain to the day. And I say unto thee, can I not see in the Spirit, and can I not discern the times in which thou livest? Can thou not see, and cannot thou discern the position, the place of wickedness as it rises up in the world today? Not only in the world at large, but yea, thou can look around, even within thine own environment, and you can see the hand of wickedness. You can see the position, the place of power where the devil is moving to bring forth his nature within the collective son of perdition. Can I not discern? Can I not see? And does it not bother thee that thou might come and that thou might move unto me, that thou might cry unto me, not for the sake of thine own unrighteousness, but for the sake of destruction that comes upon the earth, for the sake of destruction that comes upon the people? Can thou not see the mouth of hell that is open wide to devour? Can thou not discern? Can thou not hear? Can thou not hear the cry of souls as they slip and they slide, as it were, into hell? Can thou not discern the times, my people? And is it not for these times that I have created thee? Is it not the word that I have given thee in the beginning? Was it not that I would say unto thee that I would anoint thee? Did I not say that I would give thee authority? Yea, not authority to heal the sick and to cast out demons, but yea, authority to overcome that which is evil within thee, saith the Lord. That thou might be sanctified, that thou might be consecrated, that thou might be dedicated, saith the Lord. That thou might be a vessel. Surely that's not my word said, that if a man will purge himself of these, he will be that vessel of honor. And will he not be a vessel that I can pour my spirit into and not have it contaminated? For surely I say, man has contaminated me from the very beginning and the outpouring of my spirit. Man has mixed it with man. Man has mixed it with ambition. Man has mixed it with devil and called it God. But surely there is an hour that you are now coming into, saith the Lord, that I am pouring out my spirit upon consecrated, sanctified vessels, saith the Lord, that they might rise up. And in the rising of up, they shall not glorify themselves, but they shall glorify me. Can I not look and see? Can I not discern, saith the Lord? Can I not understand the position, the place of jeopardy that lieth at thy doorstep, at thy threshold, saith the Lord? It is in thy hand, saith the Lord, to do something that would turn the tide. It is in thy hand and in thy power, saith the Lord, to move in a spirit of authority over the wickedness that is rising up. Amen. Surely I say unto thee that if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. What would it be if thou would give unto me the totality of thy heart in a collective way, in a collective fashion? Would I not move in a power and authority that would beyond thy comprehension?
Hallelujah.
Surely I say unto thee, it is the time, it is the place, it is the hour, saith the Lord, of consecration and dedication unto me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I'm doing a little something new for me. But I find it to be very, very productive. So that you can see. You know, I found out something, that most of us don't bring Bibles to church.
Computers?
Well, not even computers. Some of us bring computers to church. But a lot of us don't even bring Bibles. Praise the Lord. And if we bring a Bible, we don't usually open it. Huh? We just kind of, it just kind of sits there. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether it's, we could say something about it. And if you weren't really reading it, it may not really say what somebody's saying it says. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If we don't bring Bibles to church and we don't read them in church, I wonder what we do at home. Hallelujah. Very glad to be here this evening. Praise the Lord. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be able to come here, a privilege, and to fellowship with you. We have put on a lot of miles. I don't know, when was I here last?
April.
Well, we have put on a lot of miles since April. We have been traveling quite a bit, and we have quite a bit of traveling yet to do this year before the end of the year. We would very much covet your prayers. We have a trip to Europe where we are having a conference, going to a conference in London. I am going, then flying from Europe to Africa, going to Sierra Leone, a little country that is north, you said, right?
North of Nigeria,
along the coast. There's a conference there, but we will be attending, I think it's 6 or 7 days. From there, we will hop over to Ethiopia. We will be there approximately 10 days. I will be going back to the Czech Republic, and from Czech Republic, I'll be flying to Manila on October the 4th. And we'll not be back from there till the 15th of October. And then after that, we have the Czech conference, which we will be going to, which is the last part of October. So, if it all goes according to plan and by the grace of God, we will not be coming back here until the 9th of November, and so that we might be able to go to the Schuyler Conference. I think we're living in a very serious time, brother, and I believe that there is something that the Lord has spoken to me that I have shared with you, I believe, in April when I was here. And if you will recall, if anybody went back over those tapes, I won't ask for hands, but there were three things that the Lord told me. He said that this would be a year of great shaking. As I was meditating on it one day, later on into the year, the Lord spoke to me. He says, one is visible, the other are invisible. And what he meant by that is that he gave me one absolute. He said that there would be a year of great shaking. Well, we have been seeing the shaking, both in the natural as far as the physical earth is concerned. There is also a shaking going on in the arena of politics and political superiority and power. There has been shaking going on in economics. Not only here in this land, but also in the lands where we have been traveling to. Praise the Lord. So that is something that is verifiable. That is something that is proof concerning the issue of what it is that God said. So, you know, on the basis of that, there is a validation that we can begin to think that, well, maybe God was saying the other two things too. He said that this was a year of decision. Now only you know what decisions you have to make. That is not something like an earthquake. An earthquake happens here, and everything shakes, and everybody knows about it. But in the aspect of decision, hallelujah, only you and only God will know until down the line it begins to manifest what decision you made. Praise the Lord. Then he said also that this was a year of zero tolerance. Praise the Lord. Does anybody remember this word I brought?
Yeah.
Huh? You do, huh? Praise God. Has anybody done anything about it? Hallelujah. There is a call from God. You know, when Jesus came on the scene, he came to the elect. He came to the household of faith.
Yeah.
You are the elect. You are the household of faith. Hallelujah. You are Israel. Did you know that? You are Israel. You're standing in the same place, in the same shoes, in the same position of jeopardy. And I say you, I mean me. So I'm not just saying you, and I'm excluded. Don't get that idea. Hallelujah. But you are standing. We are standing in the same place, in the same shoes that Israel stood. How many of you know that God repeats Himself, but only it magnifies. It comes to a position, a place of fullness. Do you believe that? Huh? Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, then there's some fact or there's some validity in what I'm saying. If God looks at you as the elect, then there is something going on with the elect that is not pleasing God. And it doesn't make any difference how old you are. It doesn't make any difference, do you hear me, how old you are. If you have heard something in the Spirit concerning the end time, and there was something in your heart that stirred, that means that God spoke to you. God put something in you. God spoke and shook your earth so that you might respond in some way to Him. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? It wasn't a message of just being saved and going to heaven, was it?
No.
What was it? Huh? What was it? It was talking about sons of God. Wasn't it not talking about being sons of God? And you know there's a move now in the end time church to discredit or invalidate. Is that a correct word? Invalidate? Invalidate that word. Did you know that? In the midst of the sons of God who have received the word of sonship, there is a move in the Spirit to discredit it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not only to discredit it, to make it null and void. What's happening? Well, religion is trying to assert its position or its place of predominance. Did you hear me? Religion is not something that God is involved with.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we may use the word in connection with the aspect or the thought of what it is that we call church. But religion as a definition is not something that God is involved with. The Catholic Church is religious. Uh-huh. Right? They have a very religious organization in Ethiopia called Orthodox. Ethiopian. It's Catholic, but it's Orthodox Ethiopian. Hallelujah. They're very religious. They dress, they sanctify themselves, they go through all kinds of rituals and ceremonies. That is not something that God is pleased with. That is not something that has anything of the power or the authority of God in it. Hello? Praise the Lord. And I don't know that you and I can say much beyond that with regards to our position, our place of belief. Now, it's not that we're not good people or try to do good things, because we do. But we are not doing what it is that God wants us to do in the form and fashion that God wants us to do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not a lot of amens, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. And there was a word that the Lord brought to us this last 4th of July that was confirming the word of the Lord that's been coming all year. You know, the Lord told me way back yonder, two years ago, the 4th of July would have been a year ago, I guess, so it's a year and a half. He told me that we were getting the cart before the horse. He said, there is a spirit of repentance that has to come to my people to do what? Turn their hearts where? To the Father. If that's what it says, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I misquoting that? Huh? He says he's going to turn the hearts of the children to the Father. Now, is that just natural fathers? Is that just natural children?
No.
What is it? What is it? Huh? It's talking about you and I. It's talking about, are we not supposed to be called sons? Now, is that a metaphorical phrase? Is it just something that God uses as a thought or as a concept to kind of give us an idea of what it is that He wants? Or in actuality, does He desire sons? Now, does it make any difference if you're male or female? Huh? God wants sons. You have as much opportunity to be a son of God, hallelujah, if you're female as you do as you are a male. It doesn't make any difference in God. What is important is the desire that you have for God concerning the position or the place that you want to be. Hallelujah. You know, we can be very frustrated with life. And some of you are. It hasn't given you what it is that you have wanted. It hasn't provided for you what you think that you needed. It hasn't moved quite in the way that you had hoped it to move. Huh? Right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Or are you all very content and happy about your situations and your circumstances? Are you? Come on. Are you really that content and that happy? Oh boy. I'm so happy, 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 happy. Parents aren't happy with children. Children aren't happy with parents. Husbands aren't happy with wives. Wives aren't happy with husbands. And everybody is unhappy with everybody else. It makes sisters, brothers, makes no difference. Hallelujah. But we tolerate. We tolerate. Do you hear me? We tolerate. We're not in the tolerate business. That is not what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be moving in a particular direction. And the reason why that we have some of these diversions is because the devil does not want you to believe what it is that he has for you. He doesn't want you to believe it.
Yeah.
Do you hear me, dear? He does not want to believe you to believe what it is. Yeah. So he does everything in his power to convince you. That this is reality and he is mythical.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere out there in the who knows where, out there somehow, oh yes, I believe in God. Well, so do the devils and hell. Only they tremble. It seems like some of the devils have more of a revelation of God than we do. We go about our business making decisions. Hello? Making and moving in certain ways and forming patterns that are habitual that have nothing to do with sonship. And then when we get in trouble because we made the wrong decision, we say, oh God, help us.
Right.
Oh God, help us. Help us, help us, help us. And sometimes in God's mercy, he helps us. But it doesn't change our situation. He just strengthens us or gives us a little more energy, a little more vitality in order to endure a little longer. But what we should be doing is not enduring, but repenting. Hallelujah. Now, this 4th of July, the Lord brought a word to us as a fellowship. Now, when I say fellowship, I'm not saying champagne or Urbana. I'm saying Sons of God Fellowship. How many were you at the 4th of July conference? So you all heard the Word of God, right? It was the Word of God. Do you know that? It was the Word. What have you done with it? What have you done with it? Huh? Are you in fasting and praying? Are you seeking the face of God? God is telling us, he told us, we do not believe. I may not even get into this, my goodness. God told us, we do not believe. Do not believe. Hello, are you there? Knock, knock. You know, Mom used to say, knock on wood. Are you there? He said, do not believe. Do not believe. Do you know what unbelief does? Disqualifies you. Hello, are you there? It disqualifies. So what God is really saying is you're on the verge of being disqualified. That's what he said. Did you hear me? That's what God said. Oh, you don't believe me? Turn to Hebrews what? Chapter 3 or 4? Somewhere in there? Isn't it in there? What did he say? They entered in. They entered not in because of unbelief. They did not enter. Well, whatever it is. What does it say? Come on, somebody tell me. Yeah, you know, and they compounded the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? First of all, they say they can't go in. Right? And then they turn around and they say, all right, we're going in. But the first time he told them to go in, the second time he told them not to go in. they still did not believe. Let's hope that we don't repeat their mistake. And I don't believe that we have yet come to the position or to the place, hallelujah, that God is saying you can't go in. If God comes and He brings you and I a word that says you don't believe, that means you have the power. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
You have the power to believe. There's something that God releases in the indictment that He brings. It's not like the judge down here that brings an indictment, and in that indictment you are condemned. That's not it. God brings an indictment for the purpose of getting your attention, and in the midst of all of that, He releases the power to you. Hallelujah. He opens a door. He lays out a path by which you might do something about it. You see, I can't do anything about my unbelief. I can't fix it. You understand? I can't one day say, abracadabra, I believe. But what I can do, because it's in the Scripture, it says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Now, do I just say it? Well, now I lay me down to sleep, help my unbelief. Or some of us do that. That's the way we do it. Because we get up, we go out. How many of you have really been meditating about the Word? Meditating on it. You know, what is this unbelief? How does it work in my life? Where is it evident? What are the manifestations of it? You know, you have to know what it is that God is putting His finger on. And we don't sit there and grovel in it. You understand, oh, this is where I'm intimidated by people that I'm so afraid of these things, and none of them, I'm not going to get involved in all of that because of these people. They just overshadow me. And they bring me into so much trouble. No. We go, we recognize the problem, and we begin to pray, God, this is the Spirit. This is the Spirit. This is the Spirit. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what the Bible says. We wrestle not, did you hear? Wrestle not against who? Flesh and blood. That means He's not my enemy. You're not my enemy. I am not my enemy. It's a Spirit that is moving in the realm of my existence that is creating a major problem for me, and it's trying to disqualify me.
Yeah.
Hello? It's my problem, not your problem. Your problem is not my problem. Now you can help me with my problem. You can pray for me.
Amen.
Amen. And you can minister to me. You can encourage me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But you know what the devil does? He comes along and he puts something up there that turns you and me against each other. That's what he does. Because he knows the strength in you and the strength in me and the strength in him. Hallelujah. And in this fashion, working in this way, we are undefeatable.
Yeah. Amen.
We are unconquerable. We cannot be conquered.
Amen.
That's why he brings problems right here.
Hallelujah.
You know? Well, they didn't treat me right. He didn't say the right thing. She didn't do the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. There could have been this and there could have been that. And you didn't think about it. No sensitivity. Blah, 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 blah. All the things that come up in the relationship. Parents, Virginia, you know, you don't understand me. You don't understand me. Hallelujah. My God. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of understanding. It's a matter of discerning what the problem is. Hello? It's a matter of discerning what the problem is. You know, there was a situation where a person had a dream or a vision. And what God was showing was a diversity of gifts in the body. You understand? That's what God was showing. But one person's gift to the other person seemed to be, they seemed to be more blessed, or they wanted to be double blessed or something, because this gift this person has wasn't what this person had. You understand what I'm saying? And it seemed like that person needed what this person had. That's absolutely correct. But the person didn't want to work with the person who had this gift in order to make their gift function and move in a way that would be conducive to destroying the enemy. They wanted to take the gift that was from that person and put it with their gift. Did you follow that? Huh? And they were jealous. Did you hear me? Jealous. Huh? It's like a wheel. It's like a car is a gift. The wheels are a gift. Right? Hallelujah. The car won't run without the wheels. Huh? And the wheels won't go anywhere without the car. Not in the order and fashion. And you know something? God might give you the wheels and give you something else 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 until all of it comes together to make the car. And then when you move in accordance to the will of God concerning that, what happens? You go from point A to point B.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Hallelujah. Well, our problem is a wheel wants to go that way, and a steering wheel wants to go that way, and a motor wants to go that way, and something else wants to go that way. Huh? So you got a car that's going like this. Huh? Hallelujah. It's not going to get very far. You know what I mean? If you're sitting in that car, you'll find yourself on the road and the car going all different directions. Huh? It doesn't work that way. And you know something? God is not going to change it. Because He wants you and I to learn how to work with Him and how to work with each other. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, I should be praising you, the Lord. Maybe the gift that you have is more visible. Huh? Hallelujah. My body has certain things that are visible. Hallelujah. But I can tell you what, if the things that are invisible weren't functioning, or if I didn't have them, you wouldn't see something that is visible. Huh? It might be cold and clammy. Dead. And that is what we are in God when we are fighting against the thought or the concept of what God has put in the Word concerning the end time. All of these things are manifestations of unbelief. You know, unbelief has a manifestation. You know that. It has a manifestation. Unbelief has a manifestation. And it can manifest itself in many different ways. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have to come to a place or come to a position of understanding what it is that we believe and what it is that we don't believe. Okay, let us go back and let us look at what it is that we believe. I think that there's, you know, I was reminded the night as I walked in of the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And I think that story is very apropos to the position or the place that we are in. Because there is a spirit of rebellion, there is a spirit of Antichrist, there is a spirit of perdition that is trying to assert its position of authority over the church of God.
Yes.
Hello? Amen. Hallelujah. It's trying to assert its position over the sons of God. Praise the Lord. At that particular time, all of the people of God were in hiding. Huh? I think we're hiding, Brother Tom. Huh? Well, I think we kind of tremble sometimes, you know, when things look a little uncertain, or we have some aspect of insecurity or something, or because our confidence is not what it should be in God. Hello?
Amen.
You know, I remember when the Lord began to deal with me with my children. And He was requiring of me something that I did not want to do. Of course, you never had that problem, right? Everything that God wants you to do, you want to do it, right? Hallelujah. Well, I did not want to do it. I did not want to do it. And I really thought my reasons for not doing it were outside of me. Hello? It was for the good of other people who I was involved with. But God came to me finally, And he told me, he said, if you will do what I want you to do, what you need to do and you can't do, I will do it for you in this circumstance. And then what am I going to say? Huh? What am I going to do? I have to make a decision. Do I believe God? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, at that particular point, thank God, I believed him.
Hallelujah.
Hello? I believed him. In that, there's a lot of things I did not do when I should have done, but nevertheless, I'm repenting over those. Hallelujah. But I did what God asked me to do, and he did for me and is doing what I could not do in the circumstance that I was involved in, that is ongoing and has been developing and still needs God to do something in some of those situations. Now, do I stop and say, well, he didn't do it? Huh? But I've seen him do it. Peace here, peace there, peace there. Not what I want, God. I want all of it. Huh? I want all of it done. I want all of it manifested. I want all of it functioning the way that I think it should function. Huh? And God said to me, you're not in charge. You're not in charge. You're not in charge. Are you Alpha? Are you Omega? You're not in charge. Can you change the weather? You're not in charge. Can you change the circumstances? Can you change the nature? Can you move in any fashion, in any form, to bring about any type of goodness? You're not in charge. Hallelujah. And therein is the problem. We all want to be in charge of our destiny. We all think we're in charge of our destiny. And we're all moving as though we're in charge of our destiny. And we're in charge of nothing. Huh? We're in charge of nothing. Well, we think we're so strong, so smart, so intelligent and capable. We think that. Of course you don't. No. You don't have that thought. But I have that thought. Do you hear me? And I got to thinking one day, God said to me, do you control the food that comes into your house? Well, I go down to the store and I buy it. Do you control the money that you buy it with? And I said, oh no, I don't do that. Huh? Do you control the fuel that you put in your car? Do you control your car? How many of you would like to control your cars? Huh? Oh, yeah, I'd like to control my car. You're not going to do that to me this time. No, you're not. You're going to work like you should work. You're going to work like you should work. And he says, I'll show you. How many of you control the electricity that comes into your house? How many of you control what? Your bodies. How many of you control your body? Well, let me ask you, how many of you control your appetites? Appetites, not just food appetites, but appetites for other things. Do you control your appetite? Hallelujah. You know, God knows what you're doing. Hallelujah. I don't need to know what you're doing, but God knows what you're doing. How much of your life do you actually control? How many of you control the economy? Well, I think we certainly had a demonstration of that in the last 2 years. We have no control. And that should bother us. Hello? That should bother. Why are we not in a position of more authority? Why? Because we're not in a position with God that we need to be. You know, there's a thing about God that he has allowed in the past for those things that he has poured out upon man to be contaminated by man. He has allowed it. He has allowed it. But we are coming to the time of fullness. We are coming in to a new dispensation. We are coming into a new era before God, which God will no longer tolerate. There was a time in the scripture when God would not tolerate certain activity and certain responses from people. Did you know that? In the New Testament. It was in the time when there was an outpouring of the Spirit. You remember the glory? The Word of God, the richness of it was flowing like water. Huh? And they said they were turning the world upside down. Isn't that what Acts was talking about? Going from house to house, preaching the gospel. Well, we go from house to house, all right, but we're not preaching gospel. We're telling things that we shouldn't be telling. We don't even go house to house anymore. We just put our little button there and push it there and push it there and pick it up. Or we send this text message here, text message there, text message. Or worse than that, we put it on the web where everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Huh? My God. You know, my grandmother would not even hang her underclothes out on the line. And she lived back in the boondocks, in the middle of an orchard. And she wouldn't hang her underthings out on the line. Hello? We're so blatant, we put everything that anybody can have or see right on the web. And they're not things of God. They're not things of sonship. They're not things that pertain to righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. They're not things that pertain to the calling and the election. Most of us are ashamed of the fact that we are being called as sons, and there's such a thing called perfection. Do you hear me? We don't want to be perfect. Why? Because we want to have certain things. We want to have certain environments. We want to have. Oh my God. Hallelujah. My God. The message and the position of knowledge that God has poured up on the sons of God. Hallelujah. The contingent of the church that was supposed to go in to the holies of holies.
Hallelujah.
There's a little thing called the altar of golden incense that stands right before that curtain. You know, God could have done anything and everything if He would have just moved that out of the way. Huh? We could have gone in with a little of this, a little of that, a little of this, a little of that. Hallelujah. But God doesn't tolerate a little of this, a little of that. That's why the word perfection is in the Bible. Be ye therefore perfect. You know, somebody, you can't be perfect. No, you can't. But God has given you a spirit that is perfect, that has the ability to change you into a position of perfection. Do you hear me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn this on a minute, will you, somebody? Hallelujah. It says, you know, this was a word that one of the brothers brought here in our church. And it says, 10:18. Let's see if I can get this thing to work. What is it? It's 10:20. Oh, there it is.
It's 23.
Yeah, verse 23. There it is. There it is, right there. Isn't that nice, huh?
Very good.
Isn't that nice? That's really lovely. You know, you can see the word right there. It says, hold fast. How many of you are holding fast? What are you holding fast to? Some of us are holding fast to our wallet. Some of us are holding fast to our reputation. Some of us are holding fast to our position, our place, of family, and all of the familiarities that go with it. My God! It's not telling you to hold fast to that. It's not telling you that you should hold fast. You know, There's something very, very, very pertinent about this. I got to looking at it and I got to reading it. And there's three things in this verse that God says that you and I are supposed to do. Now, you want to know why God doesn't answer your prayers in the place that you are in? It's because of the calling and the election. Do you hear me? If you were Baptist, God might answer your prayer. Because Baptists don't have the knowledge. Do you understand? But you know something else? Some of these Baptists are going to go into the kingdom before us. You know, Pavlina, she found this young lady. I think she's now 22. I think she started when she was 18. She went to Africa. She's adopted 22 children. She has a little mission. She's carrying into 22 years old, not married. And she does not have the word of the kingdom. My God. Huh? When she was, I believe it was when she was 18, that's where she went. Now, I suppose that she had to persuade her parents that this was God, number one. Because, you know, as a parent, I'm not going to say, when my 18-year-old came to me and said, I want to go to Uganda, I said, think again. Huh? Hallelujah. It probably took a lot of prayer and fasting. It probably took a lot of seeking God, but she went. And you can go on or get in touch with Pablo, and it's amazing what this young lady is doing. Huh? It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing. What are we doing? Now, you don't have to go to Uganda. Huh? You don't have to go to Uganda if God tells you to go, or Rwanda, or wherever it is. Go there if God tells you to go. Hallelujah. And see what God will do for you. Hallelujah. But she went because of the calling and the election. Did you hear me? Calling and election that was on her life. She went. And God blessed her. God blessed her. God blessed her. And you know, I don't believe it's all a bed of roses. Hello? I don't believe it's a bed of roses. I think there's tribulation. I believe there was trouble. The environment. I have been in those places. They are not nice places. Huh? No air conditioning. No good food. No good food. No sanitation. No bathrooms. Hello? Are you there? It's uncomfortable. It's pressing. It's an environment that is always working against your Western mentality. And yet she's sticking it out. Hello? Get the web address from Pavlina. Get it. Go look it for yourself. See what this young lady is doing. This young lady puts us to shame. Hello? Did you hear me? She puts us to shame because we are not doing with what God has given us to do on the basis of the authority and the power that He's given us to do it. Hello? Hallelujah. We need to repent. We do. We need to repent. We need to get before the Lord and begin to seek His face concerning our position, our place of authority. Now, this scripture says that we are to what? Hold fast. Hold fast to what? What are you holding fast to? Is it family? Is it finances? Is it security? What is it you're holding fast to? But that's not what He wants you and I to hold fast to. He wants us to hold fast to what it was He spoke to us in the very beginning. What did He speak to you? Do you remember? I can remember. That was quite a long time ago. Man came to my mother's living room. God had first and foremost told us to meet, come out of the church. We were involved in a Pentecostal church. We were working in the church. We were very active in the church. God said, come out of the church. Meet at home. And we began to meet at home. And in the course of time, God sent a man to my mother's living room to teach us about what it was that God wanted us to be. He wanted us to be sons. Hallelujah. He had a position. He had a place of sonship. You know, they wanted to stone Jesus Christ. Because He called Himself what? The Son of God. They wanted to stone Him. Well, thank God, or maybe it's to my detriment, nobody yet has wanted to stone me for being called or wanting to be called a Son of God. Nobody's called me. Nobody's not. Although somebody's, there seems to be some rocks being lobbed in my direction these days. Huh? Hallelujah. Why? Because I am foolish enough to believe that God wants to make me perfect. You perfect? Yeah, me perfect. Me perfect? Yes, me perfect. Huh? Praise the Lord. It's probably more harder for you to believe in my perfection than it is for me. Praise the Lord. But I can believe for you that God wants to make you perfect. Do you hear me? In all of your imperfections, in all of your insecurities, in all of your troubles, in all of your difficulties. Hallelujah. And I'm willing to covenant with God concerning the issue of that position, that place of sonship for you. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. That's one of the reasons why I go. That's one of the reasons why I do what it is that God has given me to do. Hallelujah. And you know, traveling for me these days isn't all that easy anymore. I thought it would get easier the more that you travel, but I found out a little secret. You get older. If I would have just stayed the way I was, then it would be no problem. You understand? You don't have some of the insecurities of old age. Because old age brings insecurity. You don't get as quite as flexible as you used to be, right? You could run down them stairs. Huh? Now you go down like this. Huh? The eyes ain't what they used to be. Huh? Hallelujah. It used to be able to see way out there. Now I can't even see here. Hallelujah. And your strength begins to dissipate. And not to mention what your body does. Huh? It doesn't behave. Come on, shape up. Huh? No, it don't work. But there is a thought, there's a position, there's a place. There's something of an authority that God wants me to utilize in that position. And you know, brethren, you know, there are different arenas in which God begins to crowd us. He begins to come in on us. And one of those places is our children. Now, for you that don't have children, praise the Lord, one day you may have the time to find out if Jesus tarries. But whether he tarries or he doesn't, the important is for us to be able to find God in the midst of it. Not that I tolerate unrighteousness, because I don't. I can't. I will compromise in my position, in my place, and in my belief. I can't make excuses for my children when they do something wrong. I can't do it. And maybe you can. I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I said, what you're doing is wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. There's no right about it. It's wrong. And there's a consequences for it. Now, sometimes that, well, he's just dad. That's the way dad is. You know, that's dad. That's the way, but that is dad. That's the way I am. I cannot compromise with God. Now, I can say my children are grown, right? And they can do what they want to do, but I have to tell them there's a consequences to what they're doing. What you're doing is wrong. And there is a consequence to it. There's a consequence down the line to you, to me. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. Because you know something, son, I say, when God touches you, he touches you. Huh? And he's going to touch you because I'm asking him to touch you. Hallelujah. It's not going to just hurt you. It's going to hurt me. Hallelujah. But I have to be willing to bear the hurt for the sake of perfection that will be worked within him in that position, that place of trouble that he finds themselves in. My God, we don't know the basic concepts of God or understand the reality of them. You know, there was a minister that once said, I care more about the soul of my children than I do about their flesh. And then I heard that, I said, boy, that's pretty difficult. That's hard. But I understand the concept now. I understand it. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. And it's not only with children. It can be with parents or it can be with spouses. Hallelujah. There is something that God wants to achieve in the midst of whatever it is that we find ourselves in as far as the affliction is concerned. We want the circumstances to change. Huh? When we're poor, we want to be prospered. When we're sick, we want to be healed. When we're captives in some circumstances, we want to be delivered. Right? God's not interested in delivering and healing and prospering you. God is interested in changing you. Changing you. Changing me. Changing us. Amen. To be able to accept the reality of our circumstances. Not because they're bigger than God, but because God so chose to put us in that position under that affliction so that we might manifest a measure of perfection that will come forth out of the midst of that fire.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In fact, I think God loves us so much that He tailors our situations personally for us in the aspect of the thought of the name of what it is that we have to be under. Do you hear me? I cannot believe it in any other way because I'm called. I'm elected. Do you hear me? I'm called. I'm elected. I have a destiny in God. I know that in God there is a thought of me that I have no comprehension of. And what He sees at the end of the day is not this poor, miserable, blind, deaf, ragged individual that is covered with filth and garbage. He sees a son. He sees a son. And all the time I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs or mumbling and grunting over my set of circumstances, whatever they may be. And I'm accusing God. You know, how could you leave me like this? How could you put me in this situation? How come there is no authority? How come there... And we all have things that we are having to deal with that are contrary to what it is we really, 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 really want. And we're blaming God. And then we said, well, I'm going to show you, God. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own person. And I'm going to do whatever it is that I want to do. Huh? Why shouldn't I do that? You're not giving me what I want anyway. Huh? And God knows if He gave it to you, it would destroy you. Huh? Because you're not ready for it. Or you want something other than what it is that God wants to give you. We always think God is going to give us something less than what it is that we want. Well, He may give it less than what you want, but it's not less than what you need. And whatever it is that He gives you in the need that you have is going to go beyond what it was that you wanted.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Only our thinking doesn't line up with God. Huh? It doesn't line up with God. It doesn't line up with God. Hallelujah. Because what we want is going to take us away from God. What we want is going to take us somewhere. Because what we want more than what we want in God. We don't believe. Don't believe it. We don't believe it. Hallelujah. Don't believe it. It says that we are to hold fast. So what we're to hold fast to? What are you holding fast onto? Well, whatever it is, if you are guilty of unbelief, it is something that is detrimental to your calling and your election. Huh? Do you hear me? It's something detrimental. Now, sometimes some of you might have to dig to find out. You know what fasting is? Have you ever heard of the word fasting? Oh, don't mention that word. I don't want to hear it. Huh? I don't want to hear it. How many of you have ever gone on a 40-day fast? I mean fast. Huh? How many of you gone on a 40-day fast? Don't raise your hands. I don't see any anyway. Huh? Hallelujah. Now, I understand circumstances are different in people's lives, but there's always something that we can do that requires the extra, that requires the effort that is beyond what we normally give. Beyond the sacrifice that we normally make. Hallelujah. Something that, you know, something, right? If it's not beyond, then it's not worth something worth doing. You understand what I'm saying? If it doesn't go beyond what it is that we have, then it's not God. It's a religious exercise. God wants you to get into an impossible situation and do an impossible thing because He's going to give you the strength to do it.
Amen.
He's going to give you the strength to do it. Give it to you. Give it to you. Do you hear me? He's going to pour it out upon you. Hallelujah. And you know, God isn't stagnant, brother.
Yeah.
Everywhere I have been, revival. God speaking visions of revival.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear it? Down in the Philippines, God speaking visions of revival. Over here in Ethiopia, God speaking visions of revival. Do you know that there is a revival going on in Africa? Of the Holy Ghost and of the end time word? Do you know that? Hallelujah. That God is opening doors that have been closed up to this point and up to this time where no man could come into it. Hallelujah. We had a little situation down in Port Harcourt with the people kidnapping people. Huh? Nobody goes to Port Harcourt now. Huh? Nobody goes to Port Harcourt now. I'm from the church. From the brethren. Nobody goes there anymore. Some of the brethren that live in Nigeria don't even go down there. Huh? Because it wasn't just white people they were picking on. And somebody told me the other day, do you know that there are white people in Port Harcourt? I said, it's none of the brethren. It's not me. Huh? Hallelujah. Why? Because we're intimidated. We have something more we cherish than the brethren. Huh? The brethren said, you've forgotten about it. They tell me you've forgotten us. You've left us out here like a piece of fruit sitting on the counter. You've forgotten about us. I said, well, brethren, you pricked my soul. And I have to repent. So I'm praying about going to... I'm praying. I'm praying about going to Port Harcourt, and I want you to pray with me. Hello? Because I'm planning on going this December, Lord willing. I am. Yes. I'm not a fool, but I'm planning to go. Come on. Huh? Praise the Lord. And I'm making it impossible for me not to go. Huh? Why? Because there's something... that I told the brethren, when they kidnapped those prayers, the Lord gave me a word for them. I said, this is a demonstration. This is a manifestation of your division and your sectarianism. I said, you've lost your power. And now the devil is coming into your house. Hmm? Your house. What house? The sons of God house. Coming into... And you think that they're going to be isolated? We have been under attack for a long time. And we're blaming this, and we're looking at this, and we're looking at that, and we're going here, and we're going there, and we're not repenting! Huh? We're not repenting! We're not repenting! Of our position, our place of lethargy, our position, our place of irresponsibility, our position, our place of not doing what it was that we should have been doing all along so that we have a position or a place of authority! Hallelujah. We have to reestablish, brother. We have to reestablish a position or a place of worship with God. I don't know if any of you noticed it, but when we sang the song of the blood tonight, the Spirit began to rise. Did you feel it? And then we changed it. And then the Spirit goes like this. It's you still got the... Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's all well and good. But you want that oomph. You want that thing that moves you up into the realm of heaven. You want to be able to come into that presence of God. You want to be in that flowing of the Spirit. You want the touch and the hand of God to begin to move in the midst of your congregation. That it begins to change your life. Not your brothers, not your sister, not your husband, not your wife. It changes you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the only way you're going to be changed is if there is a conviction that comes upon you that you need to be changed. Huh?
Yeah.
We should use a little of our independence for the sake of God instead of for our own sake. Huh? Be independent of the devil and dependent upon God. stubborn for God and stubborn against the devil. Tenacious toward God and tenacious against the devil. Hallelujah. And that's not the devil here, devil there. It's devil here. Hallelujah. My God. It says we're to hold fast. Now that word, hold fast, praise the Lord, I encourage you to, it means to hang on to. Huh? It means to hang on to, praise the Lord. And it means tenaciously, determinedly, not haphazardly, not weakly. It means to grab a hold of it and not let loose. You know, when we were first starting out in this message, we were afraid to ask people to come to our meetings. We were thinking that we were weird. We were thinking we were strange. We were afraid that they would think we were fanatical. Huh? Hallelujah. And you know, we wouldn't really talk, well, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, so yes. We believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. This is even better. We're full gospel. Huh? We're full gospel. But did we really tell him that we believe that we could be sons of God? Huh? Did we really believe or want to testify to the fact that we were called and elected? Oh, you're specially chosen people. You're brother and sister goody two shoes. You're preaching a supremacist doctrine. Okay, I can say supremacist as long as he is supreme. Huh? Hallelujah. I'm not exalting myself above God. I'm not moving myself in a position or place beyond that of which God is saying is mine to have. Huh? He says that he was the... What do you do? I was in a discussion. He says, what do you do with somebody? He says that we are the firstborn. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Yeah. Hello? Do you know that I can take off this finger right here? And if we had the capabilities, they could completely duplicate and make another me? Oh boy, God bless. Can you imagine two of me? Oh boy, that would be double trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They can take. Now, is my finger any less me than me? Huh? But is my finger my brain? No. It's not my brain. Do you hear me? It's me. It's me, 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 me. It's me. Huh? And you have the me of him in you. Now, is that me of him in you different than him? Huh? Is it different than him? Absolutely not. It says the fullness of the Godhead what? Dwelleth bodily where? In him, and we are. Now, how do I segregate myself from God when I am complete in him? In him, do I not become a part of him? And am I there not that part, a piece and a part that is called God? Come on, brethren. I'm not saying that I am God. I am saying that I am God in the aspect of what it is that God wants to proportionally put on me and make me into whatever it is that is that is like as unto him. Hallelujah. And the thing about it is, this body would never be this body without my head. Huh? Did you hear me? And there's not one piece of this body that will ever replace my head. Huh? Without my head, the body does not work. Hallelujah. But my body needs the head. And you want to know something else? My head needs a body. Now, you know, some people have a lot of trouble with that. Can you imagine God needing anything? But God so ordained it. God set it up. Do you hear? This is the way God set it up. This is the way He wanted it. I wasn't sitting there at the table of counsel with Him. Huh? And say, well, you really need a bodyguard. Huh? Oh yeah, you've got to do something about this. You're just a head floating around here in heaven and you need a body. Huh? No, in the counsel of God, God says, I want a body. I want a son. And there was something, and they put in the scripture that they wanted to stone Jesus Christ for being called the Son of God. Why? Because He was putting Himself on a plane that was equal as God, at least in their mind. Huh? And you know what? People are making the same mistake today in the end time body of Christ. Hello? Hallelujah. Or they have lost the comprehension of who and what they are. It says, let us hold fast, tenaciously, determinedly. Hallelujah. You know, you throw that life raft out there into the stream where somebody is drowning, do they just kind of limply grab hold of it? Try to save a person to drown and find out what happened. They put the death clinch on you. Huh? I'm willing to drag all of you down just to thinking that they're going to save their lives. That's what hold fast means. Huh? It means to grab onto. It's like that woman. You know, I don't believe that woman had the issue of blood. I don't believe she just went up there and went. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I think she went up there and she grabbed a hold of it. Huh? Hallelujah. And she did not let loose of it until the virtue began to flow, hallelujah, into her body. And I don't believe she turned loose of it until that power zapped her. Hallelujah. And you know something? She knew she had touched God. Ha! My goodness. She knew she had touched God. But there was something required of her. And you know something? God hid it from the Son. Have you ever saw that? God hid it from the Son. Why? He wanted that woman to do something. Yes. He wanted that woman to be determined in her aspiration and her desire. Hallelujah. She wanted that woman to demonstrate something of a power and a strength. Huh? My God. Hallelujah. Would to God that we could be something of, well, first of all, I suppose it would take a little revelation for us to understand the condition that we are in. Hello? That woman had no doubt she was dying. She had come to the end of her rope. How many of you are really at the end of your ropes? Are you at the end of your rope yet there? Well, it might be running out pretty shortly. Hallelujah. Are you at the end of your rope yet? Huh? How about your rope? How much longer you got? How much more rope you got? Oh, I got a little bit more down there. I can hang on a little bit longer. I can slip inch at a time. I got about 12 inches here. I can wait for a while and just slip a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. But one of these days, you come to the end of the rope. Huh? We are coming to the end of our ropes, brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord told me this is the year to buy gold. It's not only in the aspect of a natural position, but it's in a natural, it's a spiritual application. Come buy of me. Huh? What does it say? Come buy of me. Revelation? Huh? Third chapter? Huh?
Tried in fire.
Gold. Where? Tried in fire. Tried in fire. Gold tried in fire. You think you're going to get somebody else's fire? You're going to get that gold that somebody else had to pay the price of fire for, George? Huh? Oh, no, no. It's your fire. It's your gold. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says the refining fire. You know, you should read the book of Malachi. The book of Malachi is not written to the church. The book of Malachi is written to the priesthood. Hello? Of which you and I are so proudly proclaiming we are part of. And he says he's going to come like a refiner's fire in a full of salt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hallelujah. What time is it? Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to hold fast. We're supposed to hold fast. Not only are we supposed to hold fast, but it says we are to hold fast and what? Hold fast to what? Our profession. You know, profession is something you profess. It's something that you declare. It's something that you state. It's something that you manifest. It's something that you do. It's something that you are. Huh? Do you hear me? Are you just a good father, a good husband, a good wife, a good daughter, a good son, a good businessman, a good this, a good that? You know, it's a profession, but we're supposed to be professing what it is that we believe. Well, most of us are, but it has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with God. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. 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 You know, I wonder if Peter was even aware of when he walked down the street and people were dragging people into his shadow. I wonder if he was really aware of what was going on. You know, you don't see anywhere in the Scripture, hallelujah, that he was saying, come see the mighty shadow of Peter. You talk about the man. You talk about the power. Can you imagine that the people, you know, I don't know what this man's got, but whatever he's got, you get his shadow and you get healed. Huh? If I had somebody who was sick, I would be down there. You know what I mean? Down there, dragging them down there, making sure which way the sun's on. There's a shadow. Huh? Which way is he coming? Huh? If I had somebody who was dead, I think I would bring him down there. Huh? Slap him down, make sure, and follow maybe Peter around until I got in the right place to slap him down in the place of the shadow. Huh? Hallelujah. He didn't go around with a horn. I'm Peter and my shadow is mighty. He didn't.
Hallelujah.
It was his way of life.
Yeah.
It was his dedication, his conscience. But you know, Peter paid a price. Said the devil wants to sift you like wheat. Now God didn't say I'm not gonna let him do it. Peter, don't worry about it, boy. I got you back covered. You know you're a good friend of mine. You just stay close to me, Peter, and everything will be all right. No. He said, I prayed for you.
Amen.
And he says, when you are converted. Huh?
Yeah.
When you are converted. So he was going to say, what he was saying was, when Peter, that when the sifting's all done, and the ashes and the smoke clear, it's going to be pure gold. When you are converted, what? Strengthen your brother. We're trying to strengthen everybody without the conversion. We're trying to strengthen everybody on the aspect of the knowledge that we have. We think the fact that we know about it, the fact that we can quote it, the fact that we can preach it, the fact that we have it memorized from A to Z, we think that's sufficient. It has nothing to do with it. That knowledge, that aspect, that reality of God is to change us so that we begin to manifest and to profess that which we say we believe.
Amen.
You know, Sharon Buckmaster, my goodness, that woman was fearless when it came to the unction, the anointing. Fearless. Fearless. I don't care where we were. You know, she would embarrass me. You know, and then she'd get up. I said, oh, God, no, not again. Here she goes. And she'd go over to this brother sitting on the table here and says, Lord, give me a word for you. I said, how do you know he's a Christian? How do you know he even believes in God? He said, I don't care. God gave me a word. God gave me a word for you. And she goes and pours out the word. Hallelujah. Gives him the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get a word, we sit there and say, Huh? We do not believe in the power of God. We do not believe in the reality of God. We do not believe in the aspect of the authority that is in the Word that God has given us. Well, we think it's out there somewhere, sometime, and somehow, some way, God is going to wave this magic wand of redemption. Abracadabra, presto, you're changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Praise the Lord! We have to profess. You want to know why God isn't answering your prayers about certain things? Now, some things are not all things are under the same scope. Some things come in the timing of God. But there is a lot of things that we are not doing that prevent God from doing what it is that God wants to do. You have to do what God wants you to do. Draw nigh to God. What will God do? But you have to draw nigh first. It doesn't say, I'm going to draw nigh to you, and then you can draw nigh to me if you want to. Huh? No, draw nigh. Knock. Knock. How many of you are knocking? Huh? Seek. How many of you are seeking? Oh, I spent about 2 minutes in prayer. Seeking the face of God. Huh? How many of you ask? Oh, we do a lot of asking. That seems to be the easiest thing to do with the least amount of effort. Huh? I want this, I want that. Give me this, give me that. Help me here, help me there. Help over there, help here. You know, Brother Sheppy said, why do I need to pray for God to intervene when I have the means myself to answer the prayer? Mm-hmm. So he gave his horse away and walked home in the snow. Huh? Hallelujah. We need to profess something. Not only are we supposed to profess something, is it there? Huh? Without wavering. Without wavering. You know what the Bible says about wavering? He says, let not a man who is of a double mind ask what? Anything from God. Because God isn't going to give it to him. God can't give it to him. He's vacillating between good and bad. He's vacillating between this and that. He's vacillating, I believe, I don't believe. He vacillates. Huh? Hallelujah. Over and over again. Over and over again. God, you have to. You have to hold fast. You have to profess. And you have to be without wavering. It's impossible without having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's impossible. If you're spending 5 minutes a day, don't expect 24-hour response. Mm-hmm. Hello? If you're spending 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, an hour a day, don't expect 7 and 24. Don't expect it. It's not going to happen. Because God is going to give you proportionately what you give Him, only He will pour out abundantly. Pressed down, running over. But it has to be on the contingent of what it is that you are willing to do for Him. And in the aspect of what it is that He has given you. Hallelujah. Now, there are three things that we can do. Now, what do these three things produce? Tribulation. Three is the number of fullness. Huh? Now, we have three things. Put it back up there for me, will you? We have three things. It says, and the fourth thing is, for He is faithful that promise. He is faithful that promise. It means that from Him is coming a response. That's what it means. From Him is coming a response. Hello? Now you got 3 plus 1, huh? It makes 4. It makes tribulation. Huh? But it's tribulation of a different nature. It's a tribulation of a different fashion. It's a tribulation for a different purpose. It's not tribulation because you sinned. It's not tribulation because you rebelled. It's not tribulation because you resistance and you're proud or you're arrogant. It's not tribulation because you're rebellious. It's tribulation because you want God and you want to change. And God knows that without the tribulation, you can't change. So He puts you in the midst of the fire to change you, so that there can be a manifestation of what it is He wants you to be, and it will be a demonstration of God. You want a scriptural context? Huh? 3 Hebrew children. Hello? 3 Hebrew children. Huh? They held fast.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They held fast to what they believed. They demonstrated it daily. What did it do for them? Oh, it got them a position of authority, but it also got them a lot of trouble. Huh? There was a lot of jealousy. There was a lot of envy. There was a lot of plotting going on. Huh? Yes. Hallelujah. And it was plotting on the religious level. Hello? It wasn't idol. You know an idol is a religious thing? Huh? It's a demonstration or a representation of a spiritual environment. It's a religious thing. Huh? And that thing was designed, hallelujah, not to exalt the king. It was designed to destroy the Word of God. Hello? Who, where, and who has the Word of God? You. Huh? It's been deposited within you. It's been put within you. It's been imparted unto you. It's been deposited, impregnated within you. You. It's you who has the Word of God. You. Hallelujah. And it isn't a written word. It isn't a word of logos. It's a word of Rhema. Every one of you in here has heard and had the stirring of the Holy Spirit at one point or over a period of time on a number of occasions to verify and to put the stamp of God's Hallelujah. Calling and election upon your lives. Every one of you.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. And God has intervened time and time again when the devil has risen up to destroy you. But we're coming into a time frame then God can no longer do what God has done for you in the past because He's given you the authority to do it. Rahab had to do something. Did you hear me? Rahab had to do something. She had to believe. She had to profess. She went around knocking on the door of her family. Huh? And said, this place is going to be destroyed. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that all of these people she was knocking their doors on, knocking on their doors, were all of a sudden assured that this woman was right? Considering the environment that they were living in, I think she had to convince some of them.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I think she had to come against the spirit of unbelief in them. The power of belief in her was working against the spirit of unbelief in them. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because she was told, if you bring anybody and everybody into your house, and you do what you're supposed to do with the red ribbon, your house will be saved. What is God telling us? Huh? What is He telling us? She had to go out. She had to hold fast. She had to profess her position, her place of belief. And she had to bring and demonstrate it by bringing them into her house.
Yeah.
She had to bring them into her house. Did you get the message? We have to bring people into this house. We have to bring people into this position, this place of safety. We have to do what we need to do. And not only that, but we have to demonstrate it by hanging some little thin red thing out the window. How is that going to save anybody? I can't even climb down it. It's not strong enough to hold my weight. And yes, she did it. And what did God do? Put it back up there. What did God do? He says, for He is faithful, the promise. What did God do? He not only saved her house, but she put her in the lineage of Jesus Christ that produced the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She did not know what she was doing. Do you hear me? She did not know. All she knew is that she believed, she had to hold fast, she had to be in a position of professing, and she could not waver for one little minute. And when you have the ingredients of the formula, then God does what God needs to do. And only then will God do what He needs to do. What would have happened if she would not have hung the rug, the ribbon out the window? What would have happened? What would have happened? Do you think that God would have spared her? No way. No, no way. What is the result for not hanging the window? Well, the result is in the New Testament with Ananias and Sapphira. They profess to be in a position. But what they were professing was not in actuality what they were doing or what they were thinking. And the funny thing about it is, they could have done what they did had they not said what they said. They could have done it and lived. But they said they were, and they are, and they were doing, and they weren't, and they came under the judgment of God. Brother, we are no different. Hallelujah. So we have three positions, three things that are required of us. And in the requirement of those three things, God comes and adds His part to the pot. Hallelujah. So you have three Hebrew children who are standing up before Nebuchadnezzar, the world system, life in the world. Hello. Hallelujah. The things you do and the things you eat and the way you behave yourself and the way that you show yourself and the manifestation of what it is that you are. Is it the message of the Son of God? Is it the message of the kingdom that you are perpetrating and that you are generating? Or is it something else? Is it something else? Huh? Something else. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you, if it's something else, you're going to find the reality of it. Three Hebrew children. It's a classic example of how it works in the spirit with the principle. Huh? Oh, King, whether we live or die. Hallelujah. Now, where was the truth of their statement? How was it made manifest? Huh? Oh, King said, oh, yeah, okay, well, I know that you're really content and you really believe this, so I'm going to be a little lenient with you this time, and I'm going to forgive your transgression and just see that you don't do it again. Huh? No, it says that the king was wroth. Didn't it? Huh? That means he was beside himself with anger. Huh? Do you think the devil looks at you and says, oh, you little sweet thing, you. I love you so much. Yes, I'm going to bless you so greatly. Yeah, you know, he says, what are you that you think that you could stand up to me, the devil? Huh? I was there when you created. I saw the fashion of mud that was being formed together. We are created a little lower than the angels. Where do you think prejudice comes from? Hallelujah. It's a devil quality. It's a devil attribute. Oh, I was there. I saw what God was doing with the mud. You're not made like me. Huh? I'm made in an eternal fabric. Look at my clothes. Woo! Huh? Hallelujah. You know, I've seen the devil a couple times. And when I have seen him, he's always very suave, very debonair. He's got expensive clothes. He's got nice Italian shoes. His hair is nice and slick back, you know. Very handsome fellow. Huh? Hallelujah. And I've seen him other times, and I've seen the snare, the sneer on his face and his finger in my face saying, "Who do you think you are?" Huh? Hallelujah. But there was a test. There had to be a test. There had to be a test. Hello? Not for the sake of them only, because God wanted to demonstrate, God wanted to trumpet something. There was a message that God wanted to send to the Chaldean people, clear and loud and absolutely, totally under in a position of place of control. There was something that God had to do, so He allowed them to be thrown into the fire. Huh? But it's not tribulation for sin, brethren. Hello? There's a difference. There's a difference. Now we're talking about the position of the golden altar of incense. You know that. The golden altar of incense is not an incense, not a surrender of our sacrifice for the sake of sin. It's a sacrifice for the sake of righteousness. Hallelujah. There was a declaration being made. There was a pronunciation. And now God had to put His stamp of approval on it. They've done all they can do. Hello? Amen. And they were about to face something that was impossible for them in the natural to overcome. And the only way that God could intervene is if they had come to that point and had the result of the thing that was about to happen. He said, "Throw them into the fire." And they threw them into the fire. And lo and behold, it was Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't some prophet out in the congregation. It wasn't some high-ranking official. It was the king himself. Hello? And says, "Look, did we not throw three men in the fire? And lo, do I not now see a fourth? And lo, is he not like even the Son of Man?" How in the world did Nebuchadnezzar know that the Son of Man looked like? Oh, Son of Man. Son of God. The same thing. He was fireproof. You want fireproofing? That's fireproofing. But it was only as they came to that point that they could receive that manifestation and have that type of visitation. And that visitation not only loosed their bonds, but when He brought them out of the fire, He, Nebuchadnezzar, made a declaration. This is the one God. This is the true God. This is the living God. And every man in my kingdom shall worship Him.
Amen.
Loose Him.
Amen.
Loose Him. But only then and then only could that manifestation be made. Had to hold fast. They had to do it without wavering. They had to profess it, and then they had to do it without wavering.
Yeah.
And they had to be tried in every facet, in every form, in every position of that. And when they had come down to the last day, then the thing was taken out of their hands, and God took it over.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We need to repent. We need to seek God. We need to begin to understand the reality of what it is that God is asking and requiring of us. And we really have to determine whether we really do want it or not. And if you really want it, it's not going to be with the mouth saying, "Hey, I want this, I want this, I want this." It's going to be in the demonstration of the fact of the fire that God brings into your life and what you do with it and what it is that you profess in the midst of it. O King, whether we live or we die, what? I will serve the one God. I will serve the living God. I believe in the reality of the calling. I believe in the reality of the election. I believe in that I am called to be a son. Do you believe it?
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Like the Son of God, yes. It does say the Son of God.